Good morning. If you would please turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. We're going to be reading the first 12 verses of chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 12. This morning we have a special service. We will conclude a four-week series, and then after on the Advent, the arrival of Jesus into the world, and then we will see a group of little children come, and we'll celebrate a Christmas program, which I'm very excited to see. It's a great tradition, I believe, to remember the birth of Christ. And to remind that, or to recall that in our minds, and to teach that to those who are young. In this four-week series, we've been focusing on the four traditional Advent themes: the theme of hope, of joy, of peace. And this morning we are concluding on love. And we've been looking at these themes in the story of Abraham, the father of the people of Israel, to whom Jesus was born. Jesus is the son of David, the son of Abraham, according to Matthew 1:1. So these four themes we're seeing first in the life of Abraham, and then considering their connection to Jesus. And I think we can do that because Abraham's life points, and all of Scripture points, to the birth of the one who would bring salvation to all who trust in him, the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So we saw hope in God's promise to give Abraham a son, someone who couldn't have kids, who was married to Sarah, who the first thing we learn about Sarah, she can't have kids. Abraham believed God's promise and hoped in God to see the promise fulfilled. That was in Genesis 15. Then we saw joy in Abraham's life many years later, joy in the promise made by God. Abraham laughed in chapter 17 that he would be given a son in his old age to a woman who could not have kids. And then we saw joy in Sarah's life, Sarah, the wife of Abraham. She was filled with joy in seeing God's promise fulfilled. Even though she failed to trust God's promise to give her a son, God made laughter for her. He made laughter for her. He gave her joy in giving her a son. And then last week we saw peace in Abraham's life. When God tested Abraham, and we're actually going to read the same passage that we read last week, or a portion of it. When he tested Abraham by instructing him to offer his only son Isaac, we saw that Abraham had peace with God shown by his obedience to God. He acted in obedience, trusting that God was not his enemy, but his friend. So we'll consider love this morning. Chapter 22, verses 1 through 12. The word of God says, "After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.' So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you.' And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here I am, my son.' He said, 'Behold the fire and the wood, But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told them, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for I now know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Let's pray. Father, in you there's true hope, there's true joy, there's true peace. And God, in considering your love this morning, may we come to know, if we already know, may we know more deeply that we would love you and see why you love, God. You are the greatest in the universe. From you and through you and to you are all things. May we live lives in love, in honor, to glorify you. I pray for those here who are hurting, God, those for whom Christmas is a hard season, pray that you would comfort them, God, that they would find comfort in you and in your church. In Christ's name, amen. For the next few moments, and hopefully there are a few moments, I would like you to consider why God loved Abraham in the story of Abraham. Not merely the ways in which God loved or showed his love to Abraham, but the why of God's love. Many of you will receive gifts in a few days. Maybe you receive a gift from a parent or a friend, a sibling, family member. And that gift is a kindness. It's a way of demonstrating love. It's the way parents demonstrate love to their children. The gift is a way of showing love. On Christmas morning, when you receive a gift from a loved one, you could ask them, and maybe I have a task for you. You could ask them why you gave them the gift, or why they gave you the gift. Press them on it. Why did you give me this gift? They'll probably tell you they gave the gift because they loved you. But don't stop there. Ask them the deeper question, why do you love me? If you do that, like that probing question, I think this passage gets to the why of God's love. Genesis 22 does. The why, as to why God loved Abraham. When you consider the life of Abraham, it shouldn't be surprising that God loved Abraham. Though it never tells us God loved Abraham, we could walk through Abraham's life and see that God loved Abraham. He demonstrated love to Abraham time and time again. We could walk through the passage, but I think I could just summarize it with one word that I used last week, the word friendship. Abraham is referred to as God's friend in three places in the Bible, twice in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7, and Isaiah 41, verse 8, and then one time in the New Testament in James. Abraham is described as a friend of God. And of course, there cannot be friendship without love. Friendship requires a love, a loyalty, a caring, a desire for the good of another. Friendship requires love. But more can be said about the friendship God had with Abraham. And we can, in fact, call God's friendship with Abraham a loving friendship, even though it's assumed. And I say this because whenever God is described as Abraham's friend in the Old Testament, those two passages, 2 Chronicles 20, Isaiah 41:8, the words used in the original Hebrew language, which is the language the Old Testament was written in, and in the original Greek Septuagint, and just a little note, the Septuagint is the version of the Old Testament that was written in Greek. Both words for friend are in fact the word loved or beloved. So in Isaiah 41:8, for example, when God speaks through the prophet and says these words, "But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend," when he says that in Isaiah 41:8, this verse could be translated as "Abraham, my beloved." For those of you who've heard sermons on love, you may be interested to know that the Greek word in Isaiah 41:8 in the Septuagint, it's the verb form of the word agape. So I believe it's very appropriate for us to say that God loved Abraham. You may already know, and you probably already know, some reasons why God loves. One of the most famous verses in the Bible describes at least one reason why God loves. John 3:16 tells us, this is a Christmas verse, tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." Why? "That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Why does God love? John 3:16 says that God loves in order to give something. In the case of John 3:16, God gives a tremendous gift. God loves to give eternal life to those who believe in Jesus, the one who was given. Jesus is the gift given, and he gives through faith in him life, the gift of life, which I hope you affirm with your heart and soul and mind, that gift. Why does God love? He loves in order to give eternal life. And we can see parallels to that kind of love in the story of Abraham. We can see that God loved in order to give to Abraham. Why did God love Abraham? Just consider the three previous themes in this Advent series. First, God loved Abraham by giving Abraham true hope. True hope. We saw this in Genesis 15, 1 through 6. God gave Abraham hope through a promise to give him a son that he couldn't have, him and his wife Sarah. A son who would be Abraham's promised heir, a son that would be God's means of fulfilling all his promises to Abraham. No son, no nation to give the son to, no family, no blessing. I've tried to emphasize that many times. The son is critical in the life of Abraham. No son, no hope. God gave Abraham hope, and Abraham believed God, trusted him by faith, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Secondly, we could say that God loved Abraham by giving. See, this is a way of loving, giving, like a gift, just like in John 3:16, by giving them true joy. He loved Abraham and Sarah. In Genesis 17, 15 through 24, and in 21, 1 through 7, he gave Abraham joyful laughter at the thought of having his own son from his own wife, Sarah. And he gave Sarah joyful laughter at the stupendous birth of Isaac. God made laughter for her. He made laughter for someone who couldn't have kids, who was past birthing age. He made laughter for her. That was certainly a gift, a loving kindness of God to give laughter, joyful laughter to Abraham and Sarah. And third, we could say that God loved Abraham by entering into a peaceful relationship with Abraham. God was not Abraham's enemy. He never approached Abraham as his enemy. He was his friend. And we saw that last week, that Abraham believed he was at peace with God by his obedience. He obeyed God, even in commanding him to sacrifice his son, the son of laughter, the son of joy. Sacrifice your son. Abraham was at peace with God in obedience, but he believed that in God telling Abraham, sacrifice your son, he said, God's not my enemy. I'm going to trust him in the inexplicable. Certainly he's at peace. And that was a loving gift. God loved Abraham, and his love gave Abraham peace, like a gift. So like John 3:16, God loved by giving. He loved by giving Abraham many blessings. So why did God love Abraham? You could say, in one sense, he loved in order to give to Abraham. Just as he loves you if you trust in Jesus, as John 3:16 says. If you believe in Jesus, he gives eternal life. But God does not only love in order to give. If on Christmas morning you were to ask your loved one, why did you give me the gift? You receive a gift. Your loved one might say, I gave this because I love you. But if you were to press them on the question, why do you love me? What if Abraham were to ask God, why do you love me? Why did you speak to me? Why did you call me? Why did you give me hope? Why did you give me peace? Why did you give me the son of promise? What if Abraham were to ask God, why have you done this? What would his answer be? What would God answer? He might say, well, I love you because I love you. It's not untrue. He might say, I love you because I created you. It's also not untrue. That's a true statement. However, Genesis 22 identifies a deeper reason for God's love. If God's giving love, the gift, which you can receive by faith, if that's like wrapping paper on the gift itself, this other why of God's love, this deeper why, is the gift itself. If God's gifts to Abraham, the gift, true hope in the promise, true joy in the promise, true peace in the promise, and love, if they are the paper, the ribbon, the bow, then the deeper reason of God's love is the gift itself. It's the gift for which the wrapping paper and the bow and the ribbon exists. That's what I mean by deeper reason for God's love. Without this why of God's love, there's really no other why possible without this deeper reason. So what is the deeper reason? Why did God love Abraham? Look at verse 12 in our passage. It's the last verse we read. In this verse, we read a response to Abraham from God, and God is actually speaking through an angel. And sometimes the angel sounds like he's speaking as God, and sometimes the angel sounds like he's speaking as a messenger of God. I think it's a messenger, an angel, speaking for God to Abraham. Abraham is about to sacrifice his son. I'm at peace with this God. He's not my enemy. I'm going forward in obedience, my only son. And the angel prevents him from sacrificing Isaac. And in this, we see the why to the test of chapter 22, the climax of Abraham's story. The angel says, as Abraham is about to kill his son, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For I now know that you fear God. Why did God test Abraham? He tested Abraham to see if Abraham revered, I think would be a better way to understand that word, fear, not scared, fright, but reverence, awe, trust, honor. God tested Abraham to see if Abraham revered God, to see if Abraham honored God above all things. What's at issue in the test that God, this climax of Abraham's life? What's at issue? The test is to see where Abraham's heart is toward God. That's the purpose of the test. The test is to see what is your relationship? What is your devotion to God? What's at issue in the test? God in his gifts of love has already expressed love and kindness to Abraham. He is in pursuit of something deeper. He is in pursuit of a heart that is reverent towards him. That's the purpose for the gift. What was God after in his relationship with Abraham? Why did God love Abraham? Yes, God loved Abraham to give to Abraham. And he gave and he gave. But in giving to Abraham, in loving to give to Abraham, why did God love Abraham? God loved Abraham so that Abraham would see God as his precious gift. God loved Abraham so that Abraham would be devoted to God, so that Abraham would give his all for this God, so that Abraham would value this God above all things, even the life of his own son, his one and only son. And this why of God's love is at the heart of the Christian life. It's not changed. You see it in the word glory in the scriptures. God loves so that we would give glory, honor, praise, worship to him, so that we would love him, so that we would desire him, so that we would honor him, so that we would revere him. And just as in Abraham's life, this deeper why of God's love, just as I said, it's a Christian thing, not just a God and Abraham thing. This deeper why of God's love is present at the birth of the eternal Son of God. God who put on flesh, Jesus. After the angels visited the shepherds in Luke chapter 2 and declared to the shepherds, born this day in the city of David is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. What do they call the shepherds to do? What do they declare and call us to do? They say, give glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Who ultimately gets from the birth of his son? We get, but ultimately God gets. God gets glory, honor, praise, worship. It's the deeper reason for his giving. Why does God love? He loves in order to give. Yes, he loves in order to give. He loves in order to give. But ultimately, the deeper meaning, the deeper reason, why does God give? He loves in order to get. This is something a parent would probably never say to their child. I love you in order to get something from you. It can only be said of the one who is worthy of all, the one from whom and through whom and to whom are all things. He is the end. He gives ultimately to get. He is in relentless pursuit of his glory in the universe. He pursued Abraham so that Abraham would revere him. I now know you fear God. You revere God above all things. He's in pursuit of a reverent people. And he does this to young and old, to people who've run away from him, to people who are on their deathbed, have ran away their whole life. He pursues people, pursues enemies who don't deserve love. And he does it right now. Like, if you hear right now and you're, I want this God. I need his son. I need a savior. He just grabbed hold of you. If you trust in Christ, grabbed hold of you. Why? Not so that we would take the gift and say, thank you, I'm going to live my life. I've got that peace. I've got that gift. I'm going to live for myself. No, he grabbed hold of you so that you would glorify him with your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength, so that if you're saved by God, you're saved to bring glory to him, saved to revere him, to live for him, to honor him, to love him, to serve him, to declare him. His salvation is not for ourselves ultimately. It is ultimately for him. So may we consider that this Christmas, the love of God. Why did God love? He loves to give, and his love in his relationship with Abraham and with you and I is so that we would glorify him. It's not to be for ourselves. It's all for him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending your son, your only son. Unlike Isaac, he was and is the sacrifice. He stands in our place, taking our punishment so that we would know you, would save us eternally, so that we would know you, that we would fear you in a good sense, revere you, live for you. May we not forget that this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.